hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the Walt Weekly Friday Live. I am Walter Latham, your host, along with your co-host, Michelle Sweeney-McCombs, and, of course, our resident panelists. Let me start by wishing you all a happy Labor Day weekend. And to that end, we have a very, very special guest, a returning guest, by the way, who will help us get this weekend started, this holiday weekend. I know that you will enjoy his unique view of issues facing our community. So before I hand it over to Michelle, who will introduce our guests and our esteemed panel, please note that this show will be rebroadcast on Sunday at 3 p.m. wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Michelle?
Yeah, thank you, Walter. And good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Walt Weekly Friday Live. Thank you to our live audience for joining us. Please follow the Walt Weekly and share this podcast by clicking on the share button below. The Walt Weekly is brought to you by Michelle Sweeney Hair and Skincare. Our intro and outro music is provided by Uncle Nephew. Before I introduce our guests, I would like to start with introducing our esteemed panel, our weekly panel that is here that's joined us. First up is poet and author Judy Andrews from Brooklyn, New York. And next we have Ernest J. Robinson out of Washington, D.C., veteran sergeant, newly reenlisted U.S. Marine Corps, senior consultant at B. Ernest Leadership and Professional Consultant. We have also Honorable Gene Edwards, male district leader out of the 79th District in the Bronx. So we have a great show tonight. I'd like to introduce everyone to Oscar Sanders, an award-winning author, poet, director, screenwriter, playwright, and an onstage actor. Also, I'm going to add on there, Oscar, comedian. We love it. Welcome, Oscar. We hand it back to you, Walter.
I just wanted to ask you guys.
Yeah, Oscar. Welcome back.
I just wanted to ask you one question.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who are you guys talking about? I know you weren't talking about me.
Oh, we're talking about you, buddy.
Oh, no doubt.
Okay.
We're definitely talking about you.
Right? That's right.
That was flattering.
That's a lot, right? Flattering.
Oh, yeah. You're one of the funniest people we know. I'm telling you, man.
You're the man.
No doubt.
I enjoy being here. I enjoy the invite. The level of consciousness and awareness, like, you know, infinite. So it's beautiful to talk and be in the company of such intelligent black minds, you know?
Well, thank you.
We're honored to have you as well. We're definitely honored. Thank you.
All right.
Starting off this holiday weekend with us, man.
Yeah. You know what? I've been fighting not to call you Oscar Madison. And the odd couple.
I was terrorized.
Yeah, always speak about that.
Let me tell you a quick story. And that's it right there. There was these three girls when I was in junior high school, and I swear to God, they terrorized for almost 3 years. Oscar. And you know something? I gave them credit. I thought that they came up with that shit. And then one day I actually seen the Odd Couple and I said, oh, that's where that came from. I thought they were smarter. Yes. I thought they were smarter than they were.
All right. First off, anybody that's not speaking, please go on mute.
Yes.
With the exception of Oscar. Please, everybody. Okay, except me and Oscar. And we're going to jump right into these speaking points that we want to talk about today.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, Oscar.
Yes.
You know, you're a filmmaker, and you know, I think you have a good knowledge of Hollywood, how things work. What are you observing, as they cast a lot of black folks and other minorities? Are you seeing a rise and a maintenance? I mean, did it come from all the controversy? What are you seeing though? From your point of view,
I think the lightning came out of the bottle, kind of, so to speak. It was like at the right time. and they really realized that I think a certain degree of the public was just tired of seeing like Little House on the Prairie type formatted stories, and what I used to call the Lee Harvey Oswald or the lone gunman of a movie, meaning there's always the black girl, there's always the black man. You know, they like, for civil rights reasons and employment reasons, discrimination, they just put one black person or one Asian person, and the whole cast is white. I think people are tired of seeing things that just are too sanitized and they're not real. And at the same time, they see there's a lot of money, because it's amazing how all of a sudden now you have all these black directors that are successful. When they said black movies could sell and they don't sell overseas, and you know, and all this, and black people don't do horror films, and all these things that we see now, they were lies.
Right.
So I think they, you know, it was like, this is the amazing thing that we just, how resilient we are. We just keep forcing, we just gonna make you deal with us. And then the thing about it is, the punishment for them is success. Because who's ultimately making money when we're making money?
Oh, they make a double, triple.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So in spite of all the discrimination, when they straighten it out, or at least attempt to, they still wind up making money anyway. You know what I mean? So it's either way they made money. If they include you, they make more money. If they don't, you know, it's like you're in a situation where you're making us, and it's terrible, you're making people watch things or enjoy or digest things that just totally, you know, unrealistic to them. And it's terrible when you see, a lot of times you see all these young girls and you see them acting like Barbie, and they're flipping their hair back and they got hair down to their waist, and genetically they know there's no black person in their family with hair that long. You know what I mean? But why? It's because ever since you grew up, that's all you ever saw was Barbie. That's all you ever saw was Vogue. That's all you ever saw in Esquire or Maxim. You were seeing these skinny white girls that were 120 pounds and they all had blonde hair. And then when you watch Dallas and you watch this TV show and that TV show, and the virtuous woman was always blonde. I mean, they just overrode you. So imagine if you grew up and you were of another color. And that's all you kept seeing. Okay. And then you see, then you start to see the hatred. And I've heard black girls say things like, you know, I wish I was white. You know, it's hurtful.
Really?
Yeah, man. You know, so, you know, it's like those messages, having control of our messages is also very important, because kids feel a lot better. Don't you think a lot of these kids feel better today looking at Simone Biles, looking at Naomi Osaka, you know, because it was like, almost like, you know, Venus and Serena was on an island by themselves. You know, it was like you didn't see it. They didn't see very, very, very successful young girl, you know, that they could look up to and say, hey, I could play tennis. I could be Coco Gauff, you know, or yeah. I could be this, or I could be Kamala Harris. I could be this, you know, why, you know, it's just terrible how, you know, they screwed a lot of people up. And I see a lot of young moms, they're pissed. Because they see the option. Wow, I just bought my daughter a black Barbie, you know? And I'm like, these are people that are in their 30s and 40s. They were like, damn, this shit wasn't out when I was a kid. I would have felt better about myself if I'd have had things like this to play with. But I was playing with these white dolls, these white toys, you know? And
you were playing with white dolls? I mean,
G.I. Joe?
That's wrong. Joe. Okay, thanks for clarifying that. Okay.
Yeah, Joe, you know? And it seemed like he always had an afro, but he was white. maybe that's just the way his hair looked painted on the dog. And
that's
the thing. We didn't have no option. So
yeah, that's very true. I was looking at Netflix, and I saw this series just released the last couple of days. Called, I'm not trying to advertise now, don't get me wrong, but I just need it as something to compare. Mm-hmm. Clickbait. It was number one on Netflix for the last few days. And it has an amazing cast. I don't know whether anybody had a chance to look at it, but the characters, when you do get a chance, look at it. Mm-hmm. And how, okay. You know, the primary character. There is two, but one is a black woman, and she's just amazing. And what I'm alluding to, and what I'm trying to get to, Oscar, is that if given the chance, I mean, there's no stopping us. We just need the opportunity.
I believe that. I believe that. That's right. That's right. And see, they knew that. See, that's what's making a lot of people see this. All this crap could stop. If white people just aligned and we just went and just took care of business together and said, listen, we're not dealing with this bullshit anymore. But that's hard to do if you, by standing on the sideline, benefited from racism. You benefited from bigotry. You know why? Because once they got the minimum requirement by law of employment of minorities, 90% of the jobs were white. You see, so you got a job. You were able to grow. You were able to retire because there was no pressure on you, as opposed to, as I see it coming now, because now you have everybody. I mean, Guatemala, and I wouldn't give a damn. They're getting mastery. You see? So these people now, and that's what they are scared of now, with all the dreamers and everybody coming up, that these people are going to be smarter and more qualified and going to out-hustle white people. And see, a lot of these guys were walking. I know a lot of supervisors I had and managers that had master's degree, they were lazier than me. They were coming to me for information. So that told me that a lot of them are not suitable or qualified for the jobs they had, but they had them because their race was in control. Their race was in control. So they were looking out for their people, you know, and you see this all the way through. Even when you look at sport, when you even look, why are certain coaches able, with losing record, to continually coach for 35 years, losing teams? Whereas like the black guy or the Spanish guy, he gets 2 years, he gets 3 years, losing, fired. It's like they have this philosophy that's known to themselves, that we're going to make sure that we get to pension, that we get to retirement, that we get to whatever that collective bargaining agreement, whatever amount of service time that we need in the NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball, you're going to get that. And they, because they control the ownership, they control who gets hired, they continue to hire, you know, white coaches, or in spite of them having poor performance record, that's okay. They just keep hiring the same. There's always a net amount of coaches that they just still get hired. They just cycle around and they never make a team better, but they still get hired. We don't get that opportunity. Imagine when that's gone. And you're starting to see that. I'm looking at it now. I'm seeing all these guys that were in the NBA now. They retired. They're going to HBCUs. They're starting to coach football. They're starting to coach basketball and pro teams. And then like guys like LeBron and them, they want to own teams. See, now this is the scary part for them, because it's not like how it was when, you know, Charles Barkley, you know, and them were around, where basically they had to play on whatever team they were on. Now, you know, they're talking about ownership, you know.
Oh, yeah. And Michael Jordan, he bought the Charlotte Hornets, right?
That's right. That's right. He was the first. And then now, you know, you got A-Rod. A-Rod, I think he bought into the Timberwolves, you know. So, yeah.
All right.
And Dwayne Wade, I think he's a minority owner with Utah Jazz, you know. And I think LeBron and them already said it's clear that they're going to like go after ownership.
The panel that would like to speak about this, like to chime in on what Oscar was just saying. Well, it is the Oscar show, but I understand if y'all guys just want to remain in the background.
Silent. haven't been Mirandized yet? You can speak to that lawyer. Boy, it was quiet.
You know,
Trump came in.
Yeah, but hey, they know that this is the world according to Oscar Sanders. Okay. So they are just being respectful. But these guys are tough. Don't rub them the wrong way, Oscar. I can tell you that.
And I feed off them, because you know why? I respect everyone, because I've talked to all of them about everything. They're so knowledgeable about everything, and I learned so much from them. You know, so I welcome anything they have to say.
Yeah, I was curious. This is Judy. How are you doing, Oscar? Nice to have you here.
What's up, Judy? Yeah, what's up?
Oh, I'm curious to know, what ideas do you have about people who want to do their own, entertainment, their own way of producing without any agents or any representation? I noticed that you do a lot of your own work. Do you have someone behind you who is your agent that you are, paying funds to in order to get your name out there, or are you doing everything on your own?
Well, at the moment, I am with minimal help, but that's not my goal. Is to like do it all, because to me, you just need a team, and I need somebody that actually has like a nice Rolodex of connections that can just basically manage me, and the things that I have, because it's very difficult to like meet people that, are going to just work with you until you create relationships, and, relationships take time, So I do what I can, but I'm actually looking for somebody actually like to partner with me to really, I think I was talking to Walter yesterday about that, how important it is to know about marketing. And I see now why people go to college and get degrees, because it's a huge sign, especially now with social media. I mean, these are just job titles, and they're constantly looking for people that do this type of work, because it's huge. How do you get people's attention?
Right.
How do you get yourself out? I mean, it's a science. It's just not you just get up like Forrest Gump and just, just go to a computer. There's certain angles and there's certain things. I mean, they wouldn't be teaching it in school if it was that simple.
That's true. I have a question, Oscar. Yeah. This is Michelle.
Hey, how are you, Michelle?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. Quick question in reference to your filmmaking and when you do movies. How do you find your actors? Do you go through unions? Do you do freelance? Your crew?
Yeah, freelance, non-union, and I used to use a lot of friends. And then I also used to grab people off the street. Hi, how are you? Were you from Brazil? Hey, would you like to make film with me? Yes, American making movie. I can make a movie, and sometimes they help out. that sounds crazy, but
no, just curious.
I've done that before. Well, I also do background acting. So to get in SAG, it's very hard, because you got to get those speaking roles. But that's another thing.
Thank you.
Okay. Before we move to the next question, anything else on entertainment? All right.
For me?
For you. My next question will be directed to you. All right. What's your thoughts? So now we're going to move to politics a little bit. Let's talk some politics. We got to talk some politics. Okay. All right. And what's your take on what happened to Cuomo and his resignation and successor?
It was so calculated, I felt. And this is another thing when you're talking about how well people can work together, do one thing. Because we were just talking about 60,000 homeless, and then, and Afghanistan and all this. But in a matter of a month, they could get rid of a government. I couldn't understand how everybody turned, just at that moment on him. Now, this guy was around since Bill Clinton, because he was Secretary of HUD. Then came on after Elliot Spitzer. And then he was governor. What, two or three terms? So I'm trying to say this guy was in New York State, I don't know, at least 20 years. And I'm just saying, but at this precise moment, everything just, it was like I wanted to know. I kind of figured out the fact I didn't think they felt they could beat Cuomo, like either for re-election or even if he ran for president or something. He was just at this moment, he was just too powerful, and I think they felt if we dirty them up, you know, we'd have a better chance. And that goes into your other question when you said about the lieutenant governor. That was, that right. made it even yeah. that made it even more clever, because I was going to say, who the hell was going to vote for her? So that was one person they didn't have to worry about. They didn't have to worry about her. You see, so the thing is obviously somebody local. I feel somebody local in New York City, either Letitia James and one or two other people. But those are the people that want that job, you know. And they didn't think they could beat Cuomo head up, you know.
All right, you don't think that was a hit job by the Republicans?
I thought the Democrats, just didn't think they could beat him. So we got to take you out. You know, we're only as strong, you know, as you being out of here. And see, with her there, it makes it perfect.
Okay.
I don't think the Republicans have the I don't think they have that kind of power in New York State. They don't run all. I think Democrats.
Yeah, I was thinking of the upstate people. You know, even though in terms of population, yeah. downstate it blows upstate away.
I mean, okay. that's how I feel. You know, it's just, Gene? But that's the thing about it, Walter. He can still yeah. run for president. You know, so
okay.
I think that's what he really wanted to do. Yeah, because see, when he left, he signed an agreement they wouldn't impeach him. So that's the thing that blocked you. If he would have had been impeached, he could have never run for office. So
okay,
so he got around that. He got them to sign that paper. So his options are open. He could come back anytime he wants, you know?
Okay. Yeah. All right, Gene?
Hey, how you doing, Oscar? How's
everything, Mr. brother? Gene, what's going on, brother? Good to hear from you.
Well, David Patterson holding up Andrew Cuomo's hand and endorsed him for governor. And when Obama mm-hmm. came to visit New York, he said, everybody, I'd like to give a warm welcome to Andrew Cuomo, very next governor of New York, and everybody at that reception clapped. Then he said, shout out to David Patterson, you son of a bitch. Didn't even bother to call him governor. The fix was in right there, right?
So okay. I never heard that before.
Yeah,
wow.
I did. I watched it all. I watched all unravel, because that's when I was beginning my tenure in politics, starting off as an intern. Working at Bill Lynch in Harlem. And Bill Lynch is the architect behind Charlie Rangel, knocking off Adam Clayton Powell and Nelson Mandela and all that.
Right. I remember Bill Lynch. Yeah.
I was seeing things through the eyes of a genius and being that unassuming guy in the room listening, right? So Cuomo becomes governor. He bullies everybody in New York State, including members of his own party.
And the chickens
came home to roost, because now he's being accused of sexual misconduct. No proof, just an accusation. And the accusation was enough to discredit him, disgrace him, and make him step down. Like I said, the chickens came home to roost. And I'm done.
You're right. Oh, and then remember the other part of it. How about the Buffalo Billions, Stan? Almost $100 billion in semiconductor. He wanted to start this semiconductor industry in northern New York, and it was supposed to have 6,000 or 60,000. No, I think it was 60,000 jobs, and wound up, you know, it was like 600 jobs, and everybody he gave money to went to prison. And that was part of that scandal when that commission came out, and he cut the commission off. The result. And then when the results came out, that's when Shelley Silver, that's when Angelo, Joe Bruno, that's when Dean Skelos, that's when all of them got indicted. Malcolm Smith, all of them. You know what I'm saying? It was like, so he was protecting them. That's why he didn't want. He got that report and he saw all that shit in there, and he probably saw his name in there too. You know, and he was he tried to let them go. Yeah, right.
So a lot of people didn't know who it was, but I knew who
it
was. Stephen, I introduced myself, and he gave me some kind words about her early career, the work of politics. Uh-huh. He gave me some intelligent words And then she took a picture with my Democratic club, which actually ended up on different online tabloids.
Oh, okay.
And I'm telling she's managed to distinguish herself from Governor Cuomo. See how she's handling this natural disaster. She's all over New York, throwing out money left and right for recovery.
Okay.
And she was she was smart enough to go get Brian Benjamin, ran for comptroller. He got good numbers in New York. And he's he's from Harlem. Right. He has a very good running mate, but she runs pre-election next year. Don't be surprised if she doesn't win next year. Not be surprised if she wins.
But also don't be surprised if she don't. Because certain people got their design on that job.
Oh I know.
You know, and if they'll find something on her too. You know what I'm saying? If they want to or whatever. You know. It's interesting. That's why I love politics, because there's so much skullduggery in there. You know, and the way they're vicious, man. I remember Donald Regan. He used to be the he was chief of staff for Reagan. And he said, man, when they don't like you in Washington, and it's the same way in New York, when they turn on you, they turn on you. And that's what it is. You know, it's when they don't like you no more, it's R. Kelly. I don't care whether it could be sweet or whatever, but when they turn it off, when they turn that switch off, man, listen, you can see it coming. I was like, wow. Your downfall It could come in minutes. And that's how it was with Cuomo. It was just like slipping. I was like, wow, I never saw nobody get kicked out that fast.
No, I haven't either.
But you know what, Oscar? The flip side to that coin, and I could actually attest to this. When they like you and you're the golden child, you can get anything you want.
He's went to bat. He's went to bat and represented New York City and the federal government with Clinton or whatever. So he's put in his dues. He's, you know, he's shown up at meetings and whatever. He did what the party wanted. So they stayed with him. He's a team player. You know what I mean? You know, so.
Okay. All right, Oscar, I do want to switch over to the homeless. Okay. You know, we did talk about that briefly yesterday. And I wanted to follow up with that question on, you know, what are your thoughts around homelessness? I always have a hard time with that word.
Homelessness? Well, they said people that are very intelligent sometimes have a problem saying simple words. They say that a lot of genius. So welcome to the club.
Oh, I didn't look at it that way. Okay.
He is a mess.
You see how I cleaned it up?
I love it.
That's politics.
There you go.
Say something nice. Say something nice.
Say something nice.
There you go.
Like Whoopi Goldberg said, kindness is free. I always tell people that. Boy, you start with being mean-spirited and saying all kind of really lies. I mean, you know, I said it's nice. It's free to say something nice to people. Why are some people so? It's terrible about nothing. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, okay. You know, I'm sorry.
On the homelessness. We have in New York City and across
like
the country.
They don't want to do shit. They don't want to do shit about it. I don't understand what was that initiative where they were sending people to Newark, and they were sending them to upstate the hotels, and then people was like, take your fucking homeless people back, you know, because they're all kind of different. I was like, you rather not put them up here? You're going to send them to hotels and create other bills, you know, in another state. I don't understand. I don't know. I definitely don't know what de Blasio was doing, you know, but I don't know how anybody, now that I'm really thinking about it, how any mayor really, like, you know, kind of like dealt as far as like him being, seemed like he didn't. They don't really care about trying to find a place for homeless. Like, why don't we just take care of, you know, I mean, if they're that dysfunctional and messed up, do you really want them working? You know, I mean, so what that they're not part of society, because they're not functioning and creating capital wealth and billions, so we shouldn't look out for them? Or did they figure out the fact that all those things that we fight for and that we try to be part of in society and culture, like having homes and jobs and cars, they figured out they don't need any of that shit to live. Just like some people live in the woods. You know what I mean? It's like, are they mad because they, you know, society can't make money on them? So it's like, forget, you know, you haven't bought into our capitalist system. So, you know, forget you. So they just leave them there. You know,
yeah, they're not participating in the multiplier effect.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Exactly, Walter. You're not helping us get wealthy. So you stay right there. You know, that's what it seems like to me. And this, you know, going, you know, into a mental facility and then coming back out and then getting reacclimated. You know, I mean, to me, I think, look, remember we was talking, look at their places like Creedmoor. We was talking about these places are unoccupied. Right. The city has buildings unoccupied upstate that are used. Those mental hospitals, they're like, man, those are mansions. Those were built in the 20s. Those probably have like 70 rooms or more. They could just put the damn crazy, excuse me, I shouldn't say that. Just put the mentally ill people up and just let them roam openly. Don't lock them up. Let them be able to walk around, have rooms. But they're within like almost like a country club. They're locked in a greater facility, a bigger facility. But let them walk around. Let them just stay out and do stuff. But they can't be in society pushing people on the train tracks and sticking women in the behinds with pins and all kind of deviant sex shit and just robbing people and just being in the street. Just take them off the street, but keep them comfortable. I mean, look how they just waste money. You just left all that armament over in Afghanistan, tanks, missiles. You just threw all that shit away. You see what they're it's like wasting food. It's like, I'd rather just throw that away instead of just spending the money the right way. You know, it's just like, you know, and just take care of them. Why do they have to pay for anything? Just take care of them. They do it in other countries.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
about to do it here.
Nobody, you know. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, you're getting those checks.
It's very stubborn. It's very stubborn. You know, they're just very stubborn. You know, it's like, and we, you know, we just tolerate it. You know, it's an issue. And then we get a mayor or a governor or whatever. And then suddenly, you know, it seems like it's not important anymore.
Well, you know, this it brings to mind in a situation I was in. I was on the F train on the way to work. And this guy got on the train and he started cursing, spitting, talking to himself. And this is during the rush hour, right? And the crowd parted. And he was like in a circle, all right? He was in the middle and he had all these people trying to get away from him. But the damn train, you know, was moving, right? Express train.
Right.
So when we got to 59th Street or 53rd Street, I believe, some big guy got on the train, strong, tough looking guy. He got onto the train. Do you know that this guy that was making all this ruckus, scaring people, spitting, you know what he did? He went and sat down.
That quiet?
Yeah. Yeah, we wasn't that damn crazy. Yeah. He was terrorizing people.
You ever see them? Sometimes they just talking and mumbling until the cops come. And all of a sudden,
yeah,
they know their date of birth. They know Obama was president.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow. He's sharp. He's sharp, too. You know? But they play on your weakness, too. If they see you moving away from them, they got you. They'll follow you. They'll chase you because you're scared of them. You know, but you stand there. I used to engage. I used to talk to them about stuff. You know, you just don't ask them for a cigarette. I said, what? he said, what?
Oh, man.
Yeah, and yeah, it, because once he talked to him, he was like, either this guy is as crazy as me, or it was just like he wasn't ready for somebody to actually engage. Wow, he treated me like a human being. He talked to me. He talked that it threw all his craziness off. You know, but I try to treat. See, I also, Walter, I worked in the addiction field for a long time with methadone and opiates. So I got a lot of empathy for a lot of, you know, people that are out. Because that was part of, you know, everything I dealt with was mental illness as well, you know, incarceration, you know, suicide. So, you know, I think of those people a lot different than a lot of other people.
Yeah, and you have to point out that, this is Judy again, and you have to point out that not everybody who's homeless has a mental issue. So many
people
have lost their jobs, they're down on their luck.
Right.
You know, you miss a medical bill and you're in trouble. You know, so it is a real issue, but thank God.
See, but those are more emergency, you know, type of situations, Judy. I'm talking about the ones that said, well, that 32 years, you know, I've been.
Well, yeah,
you know,
anyone who's been like that for that long needs a lot of help and a lot of care, you know.
Yeah, by stealing, you know, they're stealing toothpaste. you know, instead of, I got in trouble for not, well, not in trouble, but I tried to give financial service advice by telling a guy, I said, he could have taken a note. He could take a note in a bank and get $9,000. Why would you steal toothpaste from writing? You know? I said, see, that's the difference between petty theft and grand loss. You think small. You're ambition. You have no ambition. I remember there was a woman. It was a woman that took a dress out of a store, $150,000. You think she was going to take a sack? Yeah, some point what you want. They don't want to
think
steal
bigger.
But see, right. Yeah. See, sometimes, and that's what a lot of things with us, we seem like we accept low quality. We accept haphazard treatment from white people, you know, in housing. And a lot, I'm looking around at people and the things that I'm seeing in the news with people's apartment and the landlords not doing anything and all these citations and all these owners and landlords just dogging people. And sometimes they don't have any lawyer. They don't get together and consolidate, escrow their rent. They just still pay their rent. Oh, it hurts my heart that some of us just, you know, settle. Exactly. And that's the bad part. It's like, well, at least I got a roof over my head. That's how you summarize it. You don't care about the stocky
expectations
botrys.
Expectations of your life.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's terrible. And these are people that work every day. They work and they say, I pay my rent. I said, I know, but you shouldn't be. Because you have no leverage. You have no leverage.
Yeah, they should have been.
We had a lawyer and we put that money up. We put that money up and then we get what we want from all urban renewal or whatever.
Right.
You
know. The mentality too sometimes.
Hey, Walter, I have a question for Oscar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Something about the military leaving Afghanistan, then they left all their materials behind, and that's true.
Yeah.
But with the homeless situation, the question I have for you is that it always appears that that America could come up with funding for the things that they deem necessary.
Hold on.
Case in point, you know, the vaccination is free, right? For hundreds of millions of Americans, right? I think there's like 300 million Americans, something like that. So the vaccination is free. Meanwhile, the providers are making billions of dollars. I'm talking about Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, Moderna, and Pfizer, right? Now, these vaccinations, when they're made, they have a cost to them. They never told us how much they cost and how much the government is spending on these vaccinations. All they promote is that they're free. Does anybody on this panel, including yourself as a guest, does anybody have an idea how much does the shot cost?
Whatever it costs is too much. I never believe what they pay to whatever they say the price is, because they jack up everything. You know what I mean?
But you know what they do.
I never heard anything about the price. Right.
About the Me either.
But your excuse is they have behind research that has to go into developing a product like that.
Right, right.
That's what they have behind.
But they could get they could get that funding from anywhere. They could have rich entrepreneur, you know, Tony Stark type, you know, industrialist, and Jeff Bezos type people funding that. Differently.
Yeah, but what did Trump call it?
Doesn't have to be the federal.
Yeah, for this initiative, what did Trump call it when they had to come up with a vaccine?
Was it something fast?
I can't. I can't recall the name of it. But
fast response, rapid response, or something like that.
No. It was Operation Fast Track.
Fast Track.
Yeah. So yeah, they funded it. But that's what the cost is. They funded it.
Oh, okay. Well, we still don't know what it costs.
No, you never will, probably. Okay. But since we are on that topic, let's talk about COVID a little bit more. How's it impacting you? Is it opening up? And with some venues, it open up, Oscar. But how do you see it right now?
Well, repeat that question again, please.
COVID. and its implication on live performances. Because you used to see a lot of those.
I kind of lost a nice amount of money for me, you know. And then as a person, a human being, you know, I'm like a self for humanity, and I need to be around people just to feel alive, you know. And everything that I enjoy, it has a crowd base, you know. You know, I don't care between work or play or live performances, speeches, book reviews. I mean, it's just like everything. I mean, virtual is okay, but it's nothing like the energy that you just get from around, you know, people. So yeah, man, it screwed everything up. And then the thing about it, I had just went to see Soldiers play again for the, I don't know, umpteenth time. And that was the next day they shut everything. Everything. I was like, wow, all of Broadway went dark. It was like, I was like, oh, this is, yeah. So it took that. I wasn't, you know, a lot of restrictions I wasn't used to, you know. I mean, I understood why, but it was like, wow. It was totally, it was mind blowing because I never had that. I mean, there's people older than me, probably not my mother is not being alive, but they could probably remember things, you know, like McCarthy era type things and Jim Crow and stuff like that. I don't remember restriction, mandate, you know what I mean? So that was interesting. It was a lot to adjust to, you know.
Yeah. I know I was watching television with my wife, man, the period piece right. We've been watching, whatever, but there was a scene where they showed colored, you know, for the restrooms. You had colored on one door and then you had white on the other. You know, my wife, she was surprised. She said, "You really had that?" She didn't realize that it used to be that way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've had people think it just was in the movies. It was just in the movies.
No, it was true. It was real, up front and personal.
I was just talking to some kids, man. They never even. I was educating them on Sundown Town. They had no idea. I said, "Yeah, if they catch you after 6 o'clock, 30 days." And now I found out from an article on the internet, a lot of these states I didn't know were in the Midwest. They're not in the South anymore. I was like, right. "Wow, Ohio, Illinois, you know, Minnesota, Missouri." I was like, "Wow, very dangerous to be out." You know, they still hunt. They're still hunting. It's no surprise that they're in the FBI, CIA, the military, police, because they like chasing. I noticed that over time, the hunting, the chasing. They like, you know, that, you know, as a species, as a race, you know. So I don't know if you can ever stop. You know, they love that. They call it flag, but it's not like you like hunting. People of color and people that you know want to control.
Yeah, they love hunting anyway. You know, big game hunting. You know, they almost wiped out the lions and the tigers.
It's all in the same cycle, Walter. I noticed. I say, wow, it goes right across the board. You notice? I say, wow, you stay all the way in this area. Everything around this area has something to do with a weapon, you know, or being outdoors and where you can do almost anything. You can bury anybody. Kill almost anybody, you know. There's no rules, you know. I mean, it's they love it, you know. And that's just it's very real, and it still goes on. You know?
Okay. Because
right now, they don't know where their homes are at, and that's good for them. And I always say that anybody that lost their home, you know, that's good for you. If your house collapsed in Florida and you voted for Trump, that's good for you. If your house is going down the Mississippi River right now and you voted for Trump or you was in January 6th in Washington, good for you. That's what you deserve.
Okay. Yeah, I find myself saying something similar, especially when they get sick.
That's karma. That's karma.
You know, karma. In the hospital, I should have taken the shot. Can I take the shot now? Oh. No, too damn late now.
Or do it like Republicans do, Jim Crow it, and say, "Oh, you got to wait 14 days." put a rule in it. 13 days, make a phone call, then 6 days after that, then you can come in. like they do us. Complicate the shit. Complicate it just like they do us. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do you think about this thing, this issue they bring up now about vaccinated and the unvaccinated, and that's discriminatory? What do you think about that?
I mean, I guess it goes from two areas of thinking. You know, it's like either you really think there's really something sinister about vaccines, or you even believe in vaccines and you want the country and the world to get separated. So if you come from a situation where you believe, and we all know why, you know, people don't want to get vaccinated. I mean, look, they just had a situation where they said Florida just unearthed some records that they underreported COVID death. And see, this is, we're still lying. And see, there are people that really have a vivid memory of everything that the government has ever said, from weapons of mass destruction, everything else that wasn't true. And so, you know, you have people that can't let it go. Then there are people like me that I had a certain politics. But I have who I am as a person, what makes me function, you know, my mental health, and at the same time, the things that I like to do and get paid to do, they require me to be vaccinated. So I had to look at that, and I already thought that out, you know, and I would go as far with my politics as far as it stops me from moving ahead, being successful, and being at peace with myself.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, yeah. I had to put that bullshit ahead. See, but some of these people, I don't know if they can you live in front of your flat screen the rest of your life? Maybe you can watch endless episodes of NCIS. Maybe. But there are a lot of people that can't do it. They were overextended a year ago. You've seen it because they showed the pictures of all the crowds and the super spreader. There are people that they didn't have the discipline to go this far. So, you know, I got to commend myself, you know, as far as that's concerned. And I'm still feeling a little awkward right now. I'm like, wow. It's like almost sometimes like an effort to be out in the evening. You know, as like, because like, I wasn't doing it. And it was like a lack of energy or motivation to that fact, you know. So it's like, it really can throw you off what you receive from it, what you get from it, or what your fears or what your belief system is in terms of, you know, what do you think is actually going to happen? And then when people do it, and then they say, oh, but then they got a shot, and then Jesse's in the hospital. You know, that's the other. Oh, well, then you need booster shot. And then after you get the booster shot, then you need another booster shot. You know, and then some people are saying, well, is this like a conspiracy just to, like, make money off medicine? And it's like somebody saying, listen, because I still can't understand why I'm watching. I know so much about chemotherapy. Why I know so much about pain medicine. That's only commercials we see. I shouldn't know about chemo. I shouldn't know about Sestiva. I shouldn't know this. See, that's for cancer patients. But I think the conspiracy of it, conspiracy of the marketing plan is, the more we show you drugs, pharmaceutical drugs, we are making it okay for you to take Oxycontin, Percocet, whatever. You see, it's regular. It's on TV all the time. It's like aspirin. Go ahead and take that drug and get strung out. Because once I can get you on something that you'll be on the rest of your life, I got you. And so in terms of a wealth tool, that's like another form of cable, TV. That's a check that just comes in. It just comes in. It's just like salt and sugar. I always wondered, why is sugar in rice? And why is salt in cake? Because if in the beginning of your life, if I get you hooked on those two chemicals, by the time you're 40, you'll be on medication the rest of your life.
Yeah, tell me about
it. Because I never understood. Yeah, right? See what I'm saying? And it's like everything has these two chemicals in it. Why?
Mm-hmm. Because the doctors make it much easier for you to get the drugs, because they send it to you every 3 months. When you run out, you just automatically get it, because it's set up like that through all of the different pharmacies throughout the United States. When you run out of the medicine, if you have insurance, you automatically, your doctor automatically puts in an automatic order for you. So, and yeah, that's really true, Oscar, you're saying about the sugar and the salt. you know.
And
really
where's the organic? Where's the organic medicine? Of course not. I'm asking. I'm just asking.
You're asking too much.
They don't look at holistic medicine.
Yeah. Right. But that's really what we need to be looking for. That's really what we need to be searching for.
And don't ask for a cure, a medication that will cure you. Do not ask for that. Not as an athlete's foot or something.
Yeah, I want to intervene a little bit. We have an audience participation question. Williams Show. Why do people say that the most hesitant getting the vaccination are African American?
If it's true, like I just said, it's because we've been lied to so much about experimentation. You know, I'm looking at Constance Gardner. That's another movie, a great movie, where they went to Africa, and that's how they made all the AIDS drugs. They lied to them and told them, you know, something, and guinea pigged them. And see, people know all these stories, so they don't want, you know, they're scared. They're scared.
Yeah,
you know? And they have reason to be. They do have reason. You know?
Well, another point is the Tuskegee experiment.
That's another one.
Also, a lot of the medications. Right. And the medications.
Henrietta Lack. You're right. That's the other one with Oprah story. About the same thing. Yeah. People, and then imagine if you're in those towns or in those cities with those black folks. That's generational. Them stories,
and it affected,
just like you know your family's history, those histories go to other black families too. They ain't taking that vaccine.
Yeah, it affected the Henrietta Lack story affected their entire family for generations. For three or four generations. Yeah. And her cells are still being used throughout the world today.
Right. And the family didn't get a dime from it.
And they never got any.
I doubt it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I doubt it. Right. That was a good question.
I understand why so many African Americans are hesitant. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I understand.
Look at what they're doing, and I always thought about this. Look at what they do with Ancestry.com, these other places. Pfizer, Merck, just gave them like $50 billion in a partnership. So now we know where all the DNA is going. So now they get all the DNA to use for cancer research for free. Now those people's DNA they're using, they get no credit. Might actually get cancer and still have to pay for the medication. That their cells and DNA research were a research problem.
That's funny how they could come out with a vaccine for this, but you can't for years. How many years people dealing with cancer? You can't come up with anything because you make more money on the medication and the treatments. That's why.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There are no cures. They're just treatment.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they made one cure. They came up with Viagra because those white men were going crazy. I noticed they came out with a cure for that. They didn't play with that shit. you see that? Because that them divorces was killing them.
You're too much.
They couldn't keep up with them 18-year-old girls no more. They couldn't do it. So why was I stealing all that money from Goldman Sachs if I couldn't give it to the 18-year-old Brazilian hooker? I wasn't going to give it to my family.
Oh, you're pretty.
I shouldn't be saying that. The government might be listening.
That's right. But I got a disclaimer. Well, yeah, don't forget. I'm going to throw a disclaimer on this show at the end.
Okay.
No problem. Really no listen. Problem.
They gonna
no,
really
don't,
gonna
don't worry. But
oh,
anyway. Yeah, let's just pivot a little bit. Let's talk about our current president, you know, and what's your take on him? And then you got Kamala, she's keeping a very low profile. So,
yeah, she probably should.
What's your thoughts on that?
Well, she's vice president, so she's going to do what they let her do. This is a bad time to be president, especially right behind Trump. I mean, he just everything fell on Biden. I mean, this was the worst decision. I have to go back a little bit when we go back to Trump a little bit when they say, well, he agreed to this August 31st. What was he going to do? He did that thinking he was going to get reelected. Okay, so now fast forward, he's reelected. What was he going to do pulling out? When that bomb, what happened just at that point, the suicide bomb, what was he going to do? Put troops? He was Can you imagine him just walking away like Gandhi? No, or was his plan was to just go infantry, and just it worse? Did he want to make it, or he didn't even have any idea that it was going to happen? Probably not.
Well, my thought is that he was just, you know, desert, you know, whoever the people on the ground, the Afghanis that assisted us, he would just say they're refugees and forget about them, just leave them. That's what would have happened.
Why would you want to withdraw? I'm saying, but you know what? What would he have done if he was there? Withdraw? That was going to happen anyway. How was he going to pull those people out? Or was he going to screw that up? I could have seen him make that up. What was he going to do? Oh, snap, there's no gas in the plane. We got to, you know, I mean, because I could see Trump messing that up. And those people being worked. Or nobody getting out. You know?
That's what I'm saying.
How could he? Can you imagine him handling that? Can you imagine him handling that?
He would just turn his back on those people. I'm telling you.
Another war. It would have been another war. Other people would have been involved. Because bombs
you think so?
Coming out of everywhere.
I parallel that with the way we responded to Iran. All right. After we killed one of their generals, and then the president said, if you do this, hurt our soldiers, we're going to. They did.
Threat.
Right. All talk and no action.
It's
you know?
Tit for tat.
Right. It's he's a bully. Right, right. Yeah, that was a bully. Yeah, tell me. You know, we were talking about the suppression. We had a show a couple of weeks ago about how they're going about suppressing the minority vote.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that? Talk to us about that.
Well, I think it's they look at those numbers that I do believe in that, you know, basically Latin people are going to be the majority, and I don't think what they said 2050. And so I think white people not believing that these people would vote Republican are very afraid that they eventually they're going to be outvoted. The population at that moment is going to turn, and that means basically minorities will be able to elect anybody that they want. And so here comes the cheating and the Jim Crow thing. I call it all Jim Crow. Whenever you legalize racism, and that's basically what they're doing with the voter suppression. It's basically
absolutely.
Keep the numbers down. But see, I think there are people like, what's the girl, the one that did the initiative in Georgia, and I hope she runs for governor. What's her name? The black
Abrams. Girl. Abrams.
There you go.
Yeah, Stacey.
Yes.
Stacey Abrams.
Yeah. See, they have to take that law, whatever those laws are, they have to make sure that all of that stuff, you need to be compliant, that they do it. I don't give a damn if you have to drive them to the vote, or you have to hand deliver the document, the voter application, whatever. Just make sure you get it in. See, we have to outbeat them. Whatever they did, okay. So we work within that narrow window. But you're not gonna stop us from voting. You know, and I think there are people like her, and there are other organizations. There are other organizations that they take that law. And they're going to make sure that they're going to be able to get black people to vote within the law. We're going to find out whatever that is. We need 27 days. We're going to do 26. You're not going to jam us up because we're going to be now. See, we're ready for you. And see, they probably have teams that can break down all those different subsets of laws. And trust me, that white person is not going to get elected. See, and that's what we have to step our game up. If this is the way they're going to play the game, then we have to we can't just allow them to use, you know, ignorance or us being not prepared. Because I think we have organizations that are going to get out and make sure, goddamn it, if they're 70 years old and they don't have a vehicle, go get them. I remember Marion, that was one thing they loved about Marion Barry. Marion Barry went and got them. He went and got them voted. He didn't leave them in there. I don't know how to get to the poll. We gonna come and get you. You make sure they get there. Everybody got a car, man. Get with all them other guys. And where the hell are the rest of those people at? Where's the Sharptons and everybody else at? Or are these other people that need to mobilize and make sure get them big trucks and them Amazon type vans and make sure you drive those people to vote. Make sure that they get there.
Right.
And I believe that they will.
Community buses. Get them there like we did. when we had the when we boycotted in Alabama the buses.
Yeah, and I believe they will.
In DC.
I believe they will. You know, because I think we learned a lot. You know, we made some strides this last election, but they see more cheating, and I think we're up for it now. We're up for it now, and we got young people. I love the energy of the young people that's with us. You know, and it's like, because they see it right away. Their future is involved in this shit. You know, and I guess they saying I don't want to go to school, you know, and have low expectations. I ain't gonna get no degree and have low expectations. They're very ambitious, and they're the type that they don't, you know, they look at everything as a waste of time. You know, so if I can't see benefit on the back end, you know, I don't want to invest in it. Meaning, if I'm not going to be successful and have a career, you know, why the hell am I going to college? You know, so they got to make sure that's right, you know, because that's being drilled into them at home. But then they're looking at the actual world and people are saying, well, man, and that's not, you shouldn't take that. You shouldn't graduate with that. You shouldn't take, you know, and that's like that, but that's their passion. Everybody don't want to write code. Everybody don't want to work in the tech industry. You mean I shouldn't be able to pay my bills? You know, come on. You know, I don't, that's becomes a problem too. I think everybody should be able to make a living wage, no matter what they're going to do. And these kids are aggressive. You know, they want it and they want, and they're involved in the political process. Cause I remember some of people when I was growing up, they was dropping the ball. You know, it was like, it was, but you know, everybody wanted to be a player. Everybody wanted to live the Nicky Bonds lifestyle and all that kind of, and we, you know, we lost a lot of great people. Because people just like that urban street life, you know, and if they ever could have, you know, really, really, you know, poured into the right thing, we could have really been successful with stuff. But that set us back because that fueled movies and people's lifestyles, that fueled films. And see, when people see that, that's a reason for them to continue to do the same things that we always do, selling drugs and things that just tear us down.
Okay, I have a question. So after everything... I heard everything you said about, you know, the voting rights
in
Georgia and what's going on in Texas. Question is this. Because this happened in 2020, and there was no investigation, and it almost wasn't even talked about.
And, what?
What's my man? Mitch McConnell. He was up for the election, and all of the vote rights in black areas like Louisville and the other urban areas of the city, I'm gonna call that urban. The police just showed up in the morning and chained the doors and said this polling site is closed, and then directed them to another polling site that was miles away. And when they went there, their names weren't in the book. So they couldn't vote. So they literally robbed of their vote, and nothing was done about it. And Mitch McConnell won re-election.
Wow.
That wasn't
I never heard that story.
Exactly. Again, this stuff is out there. It happened. I saw it on the news. And just as fast as they flashed it, they never flashed it again. But at the same time, all the news was on Breonna Taylor. And the Kentucky Attorney General, because he was the black guy that did bring up the preferred charges that everybody was expecting against those cops that shot Breonna Taylor. But the story came out that his wife was Mitch McConnell's niece. So if
what was he supposed to do? What was he supposed to do?
Right.
Now watch his ascension. Watch where he's going to be. And what he's going to bet you, he's going to be governor. I bet you, when they do have a black governor, it's going to be him because they control him.
Either that, or
they control him.
Either that, or he's going to replace Mitch McConnell when Mitch retires. He'll be the U.S. Senator out of Kentucky.
But they'll still control him. You know what I'm saying? They'll control him.
He's going to get his butter biscuits. But my question to you is, what do we do when the white man decides to exercise bully tactics like what Mitch did in Louisville?
It's difficult. That's a good question, because I mean, unless you're gonna fight back and see how does that work, you know, how does that work in your favor? You know, I don't know much about how black people fight,
in Kentucky, you know, and I've never heard of anything, you know, of any uproar in a violent way. So that's a good, I don't have an answer, actually. I mean, other than something that would probably be radical, which, you know, that's untested, you know, at least for us, especially down there. So I don't know what kind of pushback you could do against that, you know, other than legally. I mean, if you do it physically, you know, we have yet to do that. You know, we've yet to intimidate people. You know,
and you know what? Here's the irony. You said that you don't know how they fight Louisville. Here's the irony: the greatest heavyweight champion of all time, Muhammad Ali, he comes out of where? Where does he come from?
Louisville.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's the irony in all of this.
Right. Hey, this is weird. I don't know if a lot of people remember this either. The term before this, Mitch McConnell's up for re-election, and Ashley Judd ran, the actress, ran, because she's from Kentucky. And what happened was they went right in on her. They did some research, found out that she was bipolar. And she didn't want nobody. I guess maybe I don't think acting studios knew that. Anyway, that was the end of it. Within 1 month, she was out of the election. They just like played dirty on her, you know. And then they found out that basically all the money, well, I knew this for a fact, that his wife is really the pull behind everything, you know. Because people forget, she was working with Bush W. too, you know, Margaret Cho. She's the Secretary of Labor. And she was the Secretary of Labor. I think she worked with Trump as well. She's had about three or four different administrations. But her family is like the Steinbrenner family, but in Japan or China. I mean, they make ships for, you know, freighters and shit like that. So they're the ones with really the money. Mitch ain't got shit. He married into money with this woman here, which is a staunch Republican. So.
Okay. I do want to switch a little bit here and talk about, I'm going to talk about things that you are doing. City Arts, you know, we mentioned in our pre-production you know, about that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. City Arts grants are grants that are given to artists. I'm not sure if it's organizations. I think it's just only artists that were affected by the pandemic. And as a result of that, that money can be used to create an event that will be free to the public, and everything that incurs the production of that event should come from that award. It's one of, I guess, there are a lot of different artist grants or organizational grants that are out there. Specifically to help artists or organizations, theater organizations during the pandemic, you know. So that's what that is. And it goes in cycles. It goes in cycles. I think monthly cycles, but I think it's closed now. I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure. Yeah. So the for my obligation so far, I might have two, but the first one will be at Boogie Down Grind in the Bronx on October 9th. And it will be a screening of my social justice spoken word movie, which is me performing the poetry within inserts of actual news footage and archive footage of various social justice and civil rights, historical and present news. And with inserts of Farrakhan talking about racism from 60 Minutes, or I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. But everything that you see from either a film or an interview is inserted to connect one poem to something in history. So it's formatted in a way that really, like, you know, it captures you and it's like, wow.
Is that information on your website or on your Facebook?
Yes. Well, actually, Judy is starring in it, actually.
Awesome.
She didn't tell us that.
Judy and Eartha actually were in the scene politics and police, aka a sewer, where they signed a petition tired of the bullshit.
I had forgotten all about that, Oscar.
Yeah, when you've made movies with Sam Jackson and Don Cheadle, you're gonna forget about my movie. You know,
I don't think that I'll be doing anything like that in the future. But hey, you know, you never say never. But yes, right. Oscar is a great filmmaker, and he does a lot of politics. You know, I especially like what you did with Flint, you know, and the water crisis there.
Yeah, that's part of that same movie.
You know, was such an activist for that.
Mm-hmm. And it's terrible when you see, you know, the cancer and how it looked. But that's the beginning of it, the movie. Then anybody that was in the movie that was there, that they're invited to come and they can say a few words or whatever and talk about their experience. Mm-hmm. And then I break into a play performance of exposing politics. I do the actual play. So there's a live performance after the film screen.
All right. Is that going to be virtual or will that be on?
No, that'll be live and right next to each other, shoulder to shoulder, left, right, left, right.
All right. So we have, you know, just to follow up.
Also, it's outside. It'll be outside. Okay. The screen, because that's how they do stuff. They have it. They have like this, like gazebo type of like rectangles gazebo, and then people bring seats and basically stuff like that. It will be done outside because if they wanted to screen the movie inside, they've had issues with people with vaccination and, you know, getting in an argument. So it's just when they do it outside, it's wide open. So I'm going to have a screen, and it's going to be projected from the outside, and everything will be done from the outside. And you'll have the option to go inside as well. It's black.
All right, just make sure we have the information for that, Oscar.
Okay. All right. You want me to send you flyers?
Yes, or, I just posted his info in the chat room.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, I'll send you, definitely, I'll send you all the flyers, you know, for sure.
Yeah. All right, definitely. Okay, sounds good. Now, I know we're pushing against the clock, guys. I wanted Oscar to do a short poem. Do you have anything like 2 minutes long or less?
Probably. You caught me off guard. Yeah.
Okay.
This one is called Bigoted State. So it's do it. Do it how I'm doing it like I'm doing. Best believe that I be doing it. Bigoted State. Doing like I'm doing it how I'm doing, best believe that I be doing it, bigoted status. I didn't want to say this, but NYPD employs bigoted status. Congratulations, you made it. I know you're proud. It's like a dark hole. Frankly, I'm underrated. I didn't want to say this, but your origin is rooted in slavery. Bounty hunters were neighborly looking for slaves paid favorably. Mr. Gilmore said, you killing niggas. We hiring. Well, maybe. Show me you know what to do with a rope. You know how to lynch. Boy, you dope. Doing like I'm doing it how I'm doing. Best believe that I'll be doing it. Bigoted stated. Hanging by a rope. I had to tense my neck muscles, you know, in order not to choke. Snot cascading down my face was an eye opener. Okay, I'm woke. Look, I'm not prepared to die in a strange place, angst that's all over my face. If only I can get my freaking hands on that mace, somebody's ass is about to get chased. For some, black is an acquired taste. We make your food taste better, your voice much greater. Watch a ball game, come on, son, later. Oh, look, you just got down from that tree. Motherfucker, yeah, it's me. Doing like I'm doing it how I'm doing. Best believe that I be doing it, they could say it.
All right. Amazing. That's nice.
Thank you. Incredible.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I'm just waiting until a room full of police officers.
Oh, boy.
The SWAT team. We don't want that.
We don't want that.
I met some educated cops. You know what the guy said? He said, I was a detective X amount of years. He said, I almost had a problem with that. He said, but I had to check myself. He said, because I was a good cop. I said, well, then nobody was talking about you. You know, don't take nobody's pain. If you were straight up, then this ain't for you. You know, but don't, it's not for you. But don't act like you didn't live, you know, you don't know where they at. You know?
There you go.
How do we do that? But how do we do that, Walter? How do we, as black people, how are we sitting in these squad cars with these white racist men? Or are they? Or are we partners with these racists? I wonder, what's the conversation like in the prison? How do you, people that was with Derek Chauvin, how do you justify watching that?
I don't know. Osmosis?
It's a mindset.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. You're around it so long, you just become numb to it. I can't comprehend it.
Are you afraid for your life?
I think that's it.
Yeah,
the blue line. Yeah, the blue line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody's turned on the cops since Frank Serpico. Now, you know, that's a damn shame.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's 1970s.
That was way back the 70s, right?
That's the last time you had a police officer speak on the police. Mm-hmm. So that shows
And he
you
had to leave the country. He left the country.
Yeah. Right.
He didn't even stay in America. He knew better.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. But it's just, it shows you. And it's, wow, that's a long time for some, you know, nobody to stand up and say, how could you just live with yourself? That's how we get sick and we get all kind of ailments, because imagine those men living knowing all that stuff that they see and how they treat or how they feel forced to treat their own kind that way because the racist white officers watching them. Mm-hmm. You know, so I can't treat this person with dignity because he never does, you know, and what is he going to say if I treat him right? You know?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, How do you work? You know, no wonder the alcoholism is divorced, because I mean, how do you live with yourself?
Yeah, well, don't forget about suicide. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot all about that. And see, those are things they never do movies on. They'll do a little 5 or 10 minute piece on a nightly news, but where's the movie on that? Mark Wahlberg? Why Mark Wahlberg ain't playing that? Why you always got to play right. that heavily decorated, the heavily decorated cop that catch El Chapo, but he never plays the alcoholic racist police officer, you know, that America's tired of his shit, you know, you ain't going to find no George Clooney's to play that role, you know what I mean? That'd be somebody up and coming, not no legendary actor's going to play a scumbag cop, racist cop. Yeah, I never see that.
You know? That's true. Well, anyway, we're pushing up against the clock, Oscar, and I just want to thank you again. I mean, we're really thrilled. And when we go to video,
you didn't forget one more thing in what? October as well. It's supposed to be. I might be the week after. I might be at Clemente Velez doing Diplomacy, the other play. I'm just waiting on confirmation, and then Louisville Book Festival. At the Louisville International Convention Center. That's October 22nd and 23rd. I'm a awesome. Speaker there. How I Turned a Social Justice Book into a One-Man Theatrical Experience and Play Performance. But that, I think, is going to turn. I'll keep you posted. I think it's going to turn in virtual. Because
All right.
they said,
Definitely.
I just got an email. They said that the hospitals are loaded. Are loaded with COVID, so they don't dare anybody travel there. So that's real. That's another thing when you said about COVID. A lot of experiences I have for myself, you know, places I had never visited, this goddamn virus robbed me of those experiences because those things canceled, you know?
Right.
So it's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible.
No, okay.
We're still happy here. That was a blessing. They were canceled.
Yeah, just be, continue to be
that's
safe.
True. That's true.
And,
yeah.
As I said, we are pushing against the clock, Oscar.
Okay.
I do want to thank you again.
I want to thank you again and everybody.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to have you back when we go video. because we will be migrating over. So we'll be doing both. We'll be pushing our audio and video. All right. So I'd like to have you back.
That would sound good.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what would be a great experience? Do it live somewhere.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're definitely going to do it live. When we go to video,
right,
it will be live.
From the Republican Party committee.
Right from Mississippi. There you go. All right.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Peter King. We can go to Long Island. You know where Peter King is at.
Oh, yeah. He's at. Yeah. Definitely do it. Definitely.
Funny.
All right. So I want to thank the panel. Do y'all guys have anything? I think that we got to wrap for the time.
Yeah.
And let me turn it over to Michelle. Gene?
Wait, Gene has one thing, yes?
Yeah, Gene?
Yeah. Hey, Oscar. Who's your favorite politician?
You.
You think I'm gonna screw that up? You think I'm gonna screw that up?
I wish I could vote. But anyway, I thank all of y'all guys. You know, hope you have a nice weekend, Labor Day weekend.
Same to you.
And I'm going to turn it over to Michelle.
Yes, sir.
She'll take us out. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Coming up next week on the Walt Weekly Friday Live, September 10th, we have Ms. Val Whiting, a retired NBA player. We'll talk about athletes dealing with mental illness. We hope you will all join us at 6 p.m. next week. Thank you to our host, Walter Latham. Yes. Thank you to our host, Walter Latham, and our weekly panel members. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate our live audience. You can follow us at thewaltweekly.com, IG and Facebook, The Walt Weekly, Twitter, Walt Weekly, Podbean, The Walt Weekly, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your streaming platforms, The Walt Weekly is there. If you would like to advertise your business or your brand on The Walt Weekly, please contact us at thewaltweekly.com. Have an awesome and safe weekend, everyone. God bless.
Thank you.
All right.